is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. You know, those 7 o'clock breaks aren't as long as they used to be.
I know. I even forget how short they are now.
We fly right through, but we want to thank Mark Schipetta. We didn't, you know, we wish we had more time to chat with him about his endeavor to raise some money. But keep it in mind, that's going to be this Friday night. It's for a good cause. That's what the first hour of the show is. That's the timber. It's that time of year to give back, and it's a perfect segue to some of our guests. You may or may not know them from the local area, but that's why we have them here. So in case you're not aware of what's happening in the area, whether it's a giving or how you can help out or what they're going through during this holiday season, that's why they're here to kind of talk. We have, first and foremost, Mr. John Yuzwinski. He is with Father Bill's Mainspring. He's here. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. And then I think we have, who's Beth? Beth Thompson, who is here from the Greater Plymouth Food Warehouse.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Pretty good. Sorry you guys are kind of like sharing one mic. It's kind of stinky.
It's all right. Are we all right with it?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Ryan, who is my engineer for the evening, is going to bring in a mic for you, my friend. And then we have Connie Kennedy. She is with the Sowing Seeds of Marshfield. Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We'll bring that down so you feel comfortable. And everybody kind of get accustomed. We'll kind of go right around the room. Connie, we'll go with you first. Tell us what the Sowing Seeds, what do you guys do year-round, and where are you located?
First of all, we're located in Marshfield, right down the street.
Oh, and, good.
We're at 974 Plain Street, which is a little teeny old New England church building across from Buckles and Boards and near Success Real Estate. It was formerly the First Baptist Church, and in the year 2000, they disbanded and they gave us their church building. What do we do? We do many things. We are known for one thing, which is the tangible thing we do, and that's only about a third of what we do. We're known for our clothing, and you have Joe Rossi here, and Joe's been very helpful in gathering some clothes for us last season and also last year.
See, I knew you were useful in some manner.
He's very useful.
Very nice. Bravo to Joe.
It was formed by the Marshfield, by some volunteers from different churches in 1993. And one of the ministers, Ed Duffy, said, "You've got poor and hungry, we've got poor and hungry. Wouldn't it be better if we all worked together? Wouldn't it be more effective if we all worked together than work apart?" So from 93 to 95, the different volunteers worked out how to handle this because there were things that some churches could do that others wouldn't do. Mm. They formed, and I'll skip the history and get to today, but today we run a clothing bank where we give in-season clothing to local residents in need, and we give rides to the elderly and the ill, both locally and to Boston. We have a wonderful intake committee. We have 29 members now, actually, on our intake committee. And when a family calls us or an individual calls us and says we have a need, the intake committee members go out, meet with the neighbor in need or client in his or her home, and interviews them and really gets to do a full assessment of what the needs are. And in addition to assessing and handling some of the problems ourselves, we network with many, many wonderful local and regional agencies and organizations to help us with local needs.
Okay. And then we have the Greater Plymouth Food Warehouse.
We do.
Tell us a little bit about the warehouse.
I'd be happy to, and thank you very much for inviting us. The Food Warehouse is a program of South Shore Community Action Council, which is a private nonprofit located in Plymouth at 265 South Meadow Road. It's actually part of the resource program at South Shore Community Action Council, so there are many components of the program. The food warehouse is the chief or the central hub of the program. The warehouse is located in the Plymouth Industrial Park at 14 Apollo 11 Drive. And our focus is to bring as much food to as many people in need in the most efficient fashion. So the food warehouse serves food pantries and soup kitchens. We're up to 32 soup kitchens and food pantries. And those folks come in and shop at the warehouse free. Food is donated to us there. We also have a variety of other components, and I'll just quickly say we work with restaurants in the area. They also donate to the warehouse. We work with a farmers program, Healthy Harvest, during the summer, serving about 30 low-income feeding programs, boys' clubs and girls' clubs, early ed programs, councils on aging, and so on. We also work with the Greater Boston Food Bank. We have a senior access program with 7 towns, and we also have a children's access program.
All right. Tell us about Father Bill's, John.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. Well, Father Bill's and Mainspring were two organizations that started in the early 80s, very faith-based by local churches out of the greater Quincy and Brockton area. And together now, we joined forces in 2007 and became one organization. And our main goal is to make sure that no family or individual struggles with homelessness. Sad to say, we are sheltering 82 families a night throughout the South Shore. And we're sheltering about 200 individuals a night, also out of the Quincy-Brockton area. We're excited because over the last 3 years, we've decided to help with the workforce, and we've gotten more people back to work. We have workforce programs, and last year we helped about 150 formerly homeless head of households, either with a family or individuals, get jobs. And excitingly, over the last couple of years, we've decided to get into the housing world where we've been able to leverage federal dollars and start developing housing for our most neediest and poorest neighbors and most disabled individuals. And this past year, very excitingly, at a local level in the town of Hingham, we opened a 6-unit house for formerly homeless veterans. And we're very excited about that, as this holiday season, there'll be 6 local veterans that aren't homeless, as we believe no veteran that fought for our freedom should have to be homeless. So overall, we really believe in ending homelessness, not managing it throughout the South Shore, and we have a great community to be proud of.
And not that anybody was here to ask for anything, but is there constant needs with each of your organizations, and that do they differ?
Absolutely. We're looking over our numbers from last year and recognize that we had a 13% increase in the request for food from the previous year. So that's an appreciable increase. The need continues to grow. And we're happy to say that we have a very generous community. We gave out more than, or distributed, I should say, more than 300,000 pounds of food last year. It was a lot. And if you include all of our programs, it was 400,000. So a lot of food went out, but as I say, there was a 13% increase from the previous year.
John?
Well, at Father Bill's in Mainspring, sad to say that at Father Bill's place just in Quincy, we're funded by the state for 75 men and women a night, and we've been averaging 130 people since September, and we won't turn anybody away. At Mainspring House in Brockton, these are two of the only individual shelters in the South Shore that we're averaging about over 80 to 90 people, and are funded for about 51 people. So we work closely with the Plymouth Task Force, a church group that's been sheltering people. We work closely with the Wareham community. But our needs right now are the day-to-day things to help our individuals. If it's the new bath and hand towels, the hygiene stuff like soaps and shampoos. We have so many people coming in. We don't want anybody to be outside this winter. So it's those simple things on our wish list. People can go to our website and learn about it. FatherBillsMainspring.org is those simple things when people are coming in, a toothbrush, a toothpaste, that people don't have when they're coming in off the streets.
Connie?
Like the others, we've seen a tremendous increase over the last number of years, and especially this last year. I was in the clothing bank on Saturday. Our clothing bank hours are Thursday and Saturday from 12 to noon. And I don't think I'd ever seen as many people in there, especially at this time of year. We had over 30 families represented in those 2 hours, easily over 30 families. Mm. We've had over a 25% increase in the clothing bank last year. We served over well over 1,400 in Marshville residents. It's a free service. We had over 400 families, and typically 70% of them have children. But we also have a number of seniors. We have, so when you're asking what our current needs are, our needs are wide and vast. It's anything that you need for basic needs. Our most constant need, we were talking about this before the show, the hardest thing for any one of us to get is packages of new underwear and packages of new socks. People like to give the things that feel good, a warm sweater, which is appreciated, or a toy at Christmas or whatever. But if you have a child who needs new underwear and that child is going to school, especially in a gym class or something, you want the children to have the most basic needs. We need, obviously, seasonal things. We need warm coats. But beyond our tangible needs, we have caring needs. We have driving needs. We need drivers to drive, who will be willing to drive to dialysis or drive to Boston and locally or locally. Beds. We have a furniture coordinator who matches up essential needs for many of our local residents and who are struggling. I know people right now who are in search of beds, you know, children who are in search of beds, and constantly volunteers. And the thing that we never ask for directly is funding, but I'm sure any one of these organizations could use that, because it's absolutely so flexible. Mm. And when people are very well pre-screened, we will help with electric bills. We will do whatever it takes to keep a child in a school district or in a neighborhood.
Would you guys take any questions from our callers, as far as if they, maybe there's something sure. that we're not asking?
Absolutely.
Or maybe they know your organizations uh-huh. just as well and might want to provide some input. I think Joe has a question.
Yeah, what, you know, you've all mentioned on how your needs have grown and how the number of people you serve has grown. What types of people have you seen the changes? You know, has it gone from maybe more elderly to more families? Has it kind of shifted in that direction?
I see more people with both a mom and dad employed, and they're coming and looking for food because they can't make ends meet anymore. And they're surprising themselves, and they're, you know, it's a very uncomfortable position for many, many people to find themselves in. They never thought they would be in that position. But it's more of the working families who are struggling still.
Funny. We've seen more second, third, fourth generation Marshfield residents. In years past, we may have seen people who were newer to the area come in, but we see a lot of people who you would think may have the reach or the backing of family, but since so many people are struggling, that I would say that's the biggest surprise. People who absolutely positively never thought they'd need to ask for help are coming in, and God bless them for doing it, because it's the hardest thing to do, to admit that you need help. And there's a loving community out in many of these places willing to help them.
Young adults is our fastest growing population when it comes to people struggling with homelessness, 18 to 21 year olds. When I came to Father Bill's in 1996, we probably served no more than 10 or 12 18 to 21 year olds. We served and assisted in shelter over 200 18 to 21 year olds and elderly people. For our Thanksgiving dinner, we had probably over 200 deliveries this year, and over 50% were people that were in elderly housing on a fixed income that could not afford a Thanksgiving meal.
We are speaking with John Yuzwinski of Father Bill's Mainspring, Beth Thompson from the Greater Plymouth Food Warehouse, and Connie Kennedy from the Sowing Seed here in Marshfield. And if you have a question or something you want to kind of share with us, right up until 7:30, number 781-837-4900. Now, you talk about young adults, and I got to ask this. As I know we look at the economy as a whole as being maybe one factor, maybe somebody who's on a fixed income. But here we are in 2012. I think there's another thing that's also in there, and I'm sure you guys are aware of it, somebody with drug addiction. Is that something that also plays a role, where you might see people coming in for help because they're kind of caught up with drugs?
Yeah, no, clearly on that population, 18 to 21 year olds, we're seeing a lot of young adults who have been struggling within maybe the foster care system, have been homeless majority of their life, are struggling with drugs and alcoholism. The lack of access to treatment programs in the Commonwealth over the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen over 50% of the treatment beds for substance abuse be cut detoxes are kind of non-existent at this point. So getting access, we've seen a lot of young adults coming in with severe mental health issues that aren't getting treated, and substance abuse. So that's, you're exactly right. We're seeing more people not getting into the programs that they used to get into, and we're seeing more people just fall through the cracks at the mental health and substance abuse system and turning to emergency shelters, which is inappropriate.
Yes, the surveys I did with the pantries last summer, the one question was how many folks were repeat folks, and they're seeing a definite increase in repeat, and they think some of the reason is because of their addiction problems, that they just can't pull themselves out of the problem they're facing. So, and I should say, we're getting up close to 4,000 people a month.
Wow.
Through the, that's
in Plymouth, right?
That's the, well, it's 15 towns we service.
Okay.
So it's a larger group than Plymouth.
Okay. As far as the sowing seed, how about?
In terms of drug addiction, I am not the person to speak to whether there's been an increase or not. Our wonderful intake committee.
But is it part of the number?
It certainly is part of the number, or it's represented in the household where there is a problem. I mean, obviously, it's a problem throughout the area, throughout the country, and you know, that can create a loss of income in many of the issues. But when we get a call to go into a house for one reason or an apartment, we know that there's more than one reason, and our trained, talented intake committee will be able to survey that, know what they can handle, and know what they will pass on to other resources. Because the resources are vast, but very sparsely funded these days.
And I think another group that I think I omitted here accidentally, and I ask you about that, is returning veterans. So we have returning veterans who are also finding themselves in need. Beth?
We have a new pantry that we're servicing, the Nathan Hale Foundation. They have a pantry both in Plymouth and in Middleborough, and they're fairly new pantries for both of those for that organization in both those locations, and their needs certainly has increased, yes.
Okay. As far as the sowing seed, is that also another?
We would provide them with basic needs, and we would provide them with certainly with clothing and some of the fundamentals to get back. Have we seen an increase? I wish I were the exact. I don't want to mislead you, but I know that we have some. I don't know statistically if they're fewer or greater.
Okay.
And just on the homeless world of the South Shore, last year we assisted probably over 200 veteran, either head of household veteran, family with children, or individuals that came to the shelter. And right now we've seen about 15-20% of the population of our guests in our shelter are a veteran, and that's just too many people that have helped fight for our country that are experiencing homelessness. We're seeing an uptick of a lot of families that have a veteran in their family that are on the verge of coming back from the wars right now, can't get a job, having trouble paying the mortgage or the rent, and we've been having a new prevention program just for veterans to try to make sure that we can try to prevent them from falling into homelessness.
I have a parenthetical note about that. You may be more familiar with it, but there is one resource that we're familiar with is a new clinic that's in Plymouth at Exit 5. For veterans, so that some veterans here won't have to go all the way to Brockton to go to the VA, and I think that they're looking to get some publicity out. And it's a quicker access. It's for the veterans, and you know, Lord knows they deserve all the help and support they can get.
How are the communities that you service? How are they in response to a lot of the stuff that you do? Are they extremely supportive? Do they, you know, help you out with you know, needs if you come to them? I mean, how are they in general?
Yeah, we're very blessed. The whole South Shore community is so giving and compassionate. And I would say that, you know, homelessness is a tough topic, and a lot of times when you're trying to site a housing program specifically or a new shelter, it can be very difficult. But all the communities in the South Shore have been very supportive of our mission through the years and have always looked at it as it's all of our responsibility. Yeah. So we can't say enough if it's just one-time housing programs like in Braintree or Hingham or Plymouth or Wareham or Brockton or Middleborough, or if it's, you know, we have a wish list need and we need to get it resolved now, all the way to a teen shelter that was going to close in Weymouth. The community's always stepped up and really been supportive, and we can't thank them enough.
And I'd be happy to respond to that. I mean, we rely heavily on the community. And we just had a food drive on November 10th. We did a record. We were at three Stop and Shop stores. We were at Roach Brothers here in Marshfield. We were down at Pine Hills. And we brought in 4,800 pounds that day. That was a record-breaking day. And we're very, very grateful. And we do, you know, we work with the schools, the libraries, the restaurants, the newspapers, the businesses, the grocery stores, the clubs, the neighborhoods, the offices, the doctors. They've all been fabulous.
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the community. There would be no Sowing Seeds. We are 100% volunteer, and we don't have any government grants. And it's because of the community. It's because of people like you, Joe. It's because of Brownie troops, Cub Scout troops, all sorts of groups of all sorts of ages, church groups, and some not even from Marshfield, but most from Marshfield that have rallied to help their neighbors in need. And it's we've taken over 6,500 calls, and when we answer those calls, we're answering on behalf of all the people that support us and our volunteer base. I mean, well over 100 volunteers. And these are very dedicated people to the community.
Any essentials you're looking for the holidays for your individual organizations, whether it's gift giving, whether it is just a normal thing? I know we heard under children's underwear. That's kind of one thing. Volunteers. It's not just one thing, but there's a vastness to when it comes to, you know, your different organizations and what you provide. It's not just one particular thing. If you want to take a moment to express it, John.
Yeah, no, definitely. For our families moving into apartments, and thankfully we have families moving to apartments, the families are in need of new twin sheets, blankets, bath and hand towels, crib sheets, and baby blankets. And for the individual shelters, we're always in need of new blankets, again, bath and hand towels, socks, male and female undergarments, and we just can't thank enough for everybody. And if you'd like to learn more about it, you can go to our website at www.fatherbillsmainspring.org to learn more about our wish list and where to drop it off.
Okay. Beth?
Oh, my goodness. We have a lot of needs. We're always looking for
things. We've got 4 minutes, so.
Okay, I'll try.
Share it with Carmen.
Let's see. Peanut butter and jelly. Just think of young families, young kids.
Sure.
They're a huge need. And the seniors. Those are the two target audiences, honestly. Cans of fruit, tuna fish, mac and cheese. I mean, if you think of those two groups, they'd be very, very grateful for food in those areas.
Honey. Can't we have another half hour?
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to Dave Wedge about that. He's coming up at 7:30.
We've whittled down our list for this particular season. And, of course, as you mentioned, packages of new socks and new underwear. And I might add, that's for all ages and all genders.
Mm.
Warm coats. It's not supposed to be a great winter. Mm.
But never assume with Mother Nature, right?
Warm coats. We do take seasonal clothes, and we appreciate people who withhold donating their out-of-season clothing till another season, because we take in-season clothes. But the most flexible gift, or one of the more flexible ones, are local gift cards. And with local gift cards to local stores, we can get clothing, we can get gas, we can get medicine, we can get food, the essentials that people need. And so there are a number of local stores that have been very supportive of us. And actually, on the Sowing Seeds website, another little plug here, which is sowingseedsofhope.net, I will later tonight put a blog posting about a wonderful group in town that gets a certain... We suggest buying gift cards to them, and they take a certain percentage. They're given a certain percentage back when purchases are made through them, and that money actually goes toward a local housing fund organization that will help people, and we do that as well, and oftentimes we partner with them when we need to get some transitional housing or help someone with a mortgage or with a rent. So I'll put that on our website later tonight. A great location. Sorry, I'm stumbling. But a great place for people to buy gift cards where it will be fed back into the community twofold or more.
So strictly gift cards, if you were to get a donation, would you all say gift cards, or would you say
Or would you say cash or check?
Cash or gift cards are great. Gift cards are a great thing also to give to our adult individuals also.
Yeah. Any of the food that I mentioned be wonderful. I did want to say we also have a SNAP program, which is the old food stamp program.
Okay.
People can come and see us, and we can maybe help them out with food stamps. And we're located at our website is sscac.org. We also have 17 community bins out in the... They can find our community bins at the website. So we're looking forward to their donations.
Is there any stone that we have not turned over while we've had you folks? I know we could probably go another half hour talking about all the different various things that you experience and that you do, but if there's anything that you want to share while we have you in here?
Just that people need to know that the people that we serve are truly struggling. They don't come to us because they want to. They don't come to us because it's easy. They come to us because they have to. And that it's a two-income society. If one family loses a paycheck for any reason, it very quickly it turns. We've seen people from every neighborhood, from all walks of life,
sure,
who are in need of help. We've also seen people from every neighborhood and all walks of life who want to help. And it's truly a blessing to be a part of this, to witness the wonderful compassion in our community. But it's just sad that so much need will be with us for a while.
And I'd just like to thank people who do support us. The community has been very generous, very supportive, and we're very grateful.
John, you get the last word.
Go,
well, just
John.
Just to say, yeah, thank you to everybody for all their support, to all these missions and nonprofits. There's so many great missions and nonprofits out there in the South Shore. But also just to remember that tonight there's over 1,800 families in hotels because there aren't enough emergency shelters. Those are children that are out there, and that we need to all be open to more affordable housing so that everybody has a true home to be in.
Absolutely.
Well, John, Beth, Connie, I want to thank you all for coming in and chatting, and maybe once we get done with the holiday season, we have you come back in again just to remind folks that it's not just the holidays that you give, but you know what, anytime that you can help others, that's something just to keep in mind.
Right.
We're coming up on 7:30 when we come back on the other side of the break here on Monday Night Talk. Dave Wedge of the Boston Herald. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.